Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Slaughter Podcast will be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still listening, just check it's on purpose.
Hi, I'm Lucy.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Leek.
Who?
Leek, I'm Lucy's fiancé.
Just rubbing it in my face.
I can just
Lucy
see the review.
Sorry, Emma.
All right. I can just see the reviews now, though, of, at first, I didn't really think you were very good because you were two women talking. But when I realised there was a man involved, I thought, there might be something to this. I'm really worried that we're suddenly going to shoot up in this.
Yeah. Once men enjoyed it, I knew it was okay.
Yeah. Once a man laughed at their jokes, I thought, they might be all right. So
we can't promise he's going to be good.
I mean, this probably is going to be an hour and a half of us picking on Luke.
We're not going to... I'm not going to let him speak. I mean, what's that?
If you want... It's just my life, isn't it?
I mean, this is generally what it's like for it you, is. Isn't it?
I'm just, you know, I'm like a third weird in all this, really, you know?
Yeah.
Between Lucy and Emma.
I mean, we are in like a three-way relationship.
However, though, I think if I'm really good and then people start to say, you should do your own, and then my podcast gets more numbers than you guys...
It's not going to happen.
Never.
No.
So, it's special this week for more than one reason, not just because Luke's here for the wine... But also because we're both doing the same murderers this week.
Yeah, we've done a special on Fred and Rose West, and I have a designated driver here, so I can drink while we're doing it, so that's super exciting. But we thought, there's so much to say about Fred and Rose West, we're going to do, like, we're just going to both research it and then see what comes out.
Or really, Lucy's going to research it, and I'm going to have a week off.
No, I think you've done more than me.
I have done more. I've got loads. I've got so much about the intricate details of Rose West's anorak in her sex photos. I studied them.
You go straight to the good bits. So we're going to start with childhood.
Yeah. So Fred's a really interesting character for many reasons. But he fits some of those conventions of a serial killer that I love. I love looking for the patterns and the psychology behind it. And he hits serial killer bingo with the head injury.
Yes.
Age 16, Fred West had a motorbike crash and had a severe head injury. And his family commented that they noticed the change. He was really... bubbly, vivacious, friendly before, and then like the blue-eyed boy of the family.
And
post-crash,
yeah, he fell off a fire escape as well.
Oh, as well.
Yeah, I think he was trying to molest a girl, and she pushed him off, or he like he fell off a fire escape and hit his head. So two major head incidents, both resulted in comas.
Yeah,
I think.
And then they said once he came around, they started. He was lying. Boasting, bragging, stealing things, all of which he'd never engaged in before. And this was like in his very rural upbringing, like proper West Country cider festivals all year round.
But do you think maybe just all kids have head injuries? Because I fell off a swing when I was younger and I was staying in a holiday park in Cornwall, and I fell off backward, smacked my head on the concrete and threw up all over the caravan.
Is that why you tried to finger me?
He did have quite a big head, though, didn't he? To be fair to him. I mean, like, his head proportionate to his body was massive.
Is this really the first comment you want to start this podcast with?
It was Robert, a good head.
Fred West had a big head.
I think it was quite attractive looking bloke, to be fair. Without the sort of,
as someone who spent many hours watching an in-depth documentary whilst Tindering casually, I felt at one point I was in some sort of Clockwork Orange brainwashing where you look at Tinder, you look at Fred. You look at Tinder, you look at Fred. By the end of it, I didn't know who I fancied more. I mean, those sideburns could tickle my
thighs.
Would
you have swiped right for Fred West? Which one's... Yes, right or left?
Oh, I feel like I just said yes, but in reflection, I want to say no.
No.
He was tall. I just love tall.
Nothing else matters.
And he had an accent.
I mean, he got a lot of
Not
women.
The hottest one, but he had an accent.
Sorry, Emma, who was your last person you got with? Were they, I thought they were quite tall, weren't they? Oh, no, sorry. They were exceptionally short.
Fred had an IQ of 84. Wow. So he was not a bright boy, and he dropped out of school early. So he just could not cope with academia, and he was not an academic. I mean
he couldn't read and write at all.
He could barely write. I know he wrote letters later.
Oh no, that's true. He did write a diary,
but it was very sort of poorly written. There were rumours that in his childhood he was one of six children, mm-hmm. and he was the favourite. There were rumours that he was molested by his mother. And that domineering mother comes up with serial killers quite a lot as well. It's like a...
Have you seen a picture of his mother?
No.
She is like... His dad was really... They were proper... An odd couple. Like, his dad was really tall and slim, very farmer-looking. And then his mother was the stout, round, short woman, permanently wearing a hat, permanently wearing a tabard. Like, she looked brilliant. Bulldog-ish.
There's rumours that she molested him, but he said that never happened and totally denied it, which you would if your mum looked
of
like
course.
That.
Mm. Well, he was also... There was obviously molest in the family. Like, family Christmas was just molest central, surely. Because he was accused of molesting his 13-year-old sister.
Yeah.
But she did... Again, same. She wouldn't testify and it got dismissed. But what if you would be scared in the small community like that? Everybody's going to know your business. There is no way you can have anonymity in the West Country, in England generally, pretty much.
Fred was told by his dad. His dad had a mantra: "Do what you want, just don't get caught."
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I read was about that the sort of duality within the family was one of the things that caused problems, in that his dad was very liberal and like, it's fine, but his mum was really strict and she was the disciplinarian, and there was that sort of push and pull between who did he have his loyalties with, who did he follow. Post head injury, he just followed his dick.
He just did what he fucking well wanted. Unfortunately, he did get caught, so
not soon enough.
So he married Rena Costello young, a Scottish sex worker.
She was running away from home and he picked her up hitchhiking. Have we discussed the love of hitchhiking before?
I mean, boy, did they take advantage of hitchhiking. Fred
Definitely.
And Rose.
I mean, there's the whole complex story that she was running away because she was pregnant. So then they decided to say the baby was his and get married. But then, once they were married, they said, we'll have to say the baby's adopted because the timings are wrong. It's like, well, you didn't need to get married then. She could have just, if you're going to just put that many layers of bullshit on top of each other, yeah, it's mine, so we'll have to get married. Actually, we don't, because we're going to say it's adopted anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think part of the reason that was because the baby was mixed race from her pimp, who was Pakistani. So once the baby was born, I think it was quite obvious that Charmaine wasn't Fred's biological daughter.
Yeah, so they had Charmaine, and Rena sort of ran away with Fred to Gloucester. Although I did hear reports that the reason that he had to leave was because he'd been shagging a 12-year-old girl that was one of the local gang's little sister.
In Gloucester?
No, before they moved to Gloucester.
Oh. So I know when they went to Glasgow was when he first realised she was a stripper. Apparently he didn't know that before, that she was a sex worker.
Yeah.
But through that life, that's where he learned about the sex industry, like sort of built the foundations for what would happen later. She showed him the nightlife. He'd come from a really small village, Quiet Place, and then he'd move to the big city of Glasgow. And have either of you been to Glasgow?
No.
Me neither. No. I've just heard the rumours. It is a big city, and it's totally different from down south. And he realised his wife was a stripper. He was going to these clubs that he'd never been to before. He was hanging out with her pimp, hanging out with sex workers, and he was seeing that there were ways of making money that didn't require quite as much exertion on his part.
But by this time, he'd already killed someone, did you know?
Who?
He'd been an ice cream man.
This was slightly after. So, because while they were in Glasgow, he met Anne McFall,
yeah,
who would later turn out to be one of his victims.
Everyone we've met, pretty much everyone we meet.
Just take that as a given. That if you meet Fred West, not going to end well. Concrete bed for you. So he met Anne Fall and was sort of enamoured with her. She was another sex worker, sort of trapped in this life. She would follow him later, became an ice cream man, which is a totally clean cut, legitimate occupation to have. I heard recently that round here, apparently that's where you get your drugs from.
Oh, that's so cliche.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite sure what the password is to, have the drugs distributed from the ice cream man, but I just know that it happens. So I don't know whether to try a few things.
I guess if you hear an ice cream van going down the street in the dead of winter...
Like, I just show up and be like, ice cream. Can I have a green 99? Like, what what do you say? So his first murder was in the ice cream van... Not some bizarre sex game that ended up with a body in the freezer, but just a tragic running over of a 4-year-old boy.
Yeah, I didn't know this till recently, but he literally just ran over the child in the ice cream van. And then
I think it was pure accident.
Yeah.
Although I think there was a question mark over that, I'm sure there was. I'm sure I read something where there was a bit of a question mark over that.
There would be, wouldn't there?
But what would be his motive?
Because I think he actually ran over him, and he squashed his head or something. It was so horrific. And I don't think his family really actually thought that did happen.
But then it was at that time where if you couldn't get a babysitter, you just stick your child out on the street and just go about your business. I mean, it's compulsory just to let your child run wild back when children weren't precious.
I mean, desperate, because after this event, Fred just broke down, abandoned his wife, took both the child, Anne-Marie, that he'd had with Rena, and Charmaine, his stepchild, took both girls back to Gloucester. And because he needed to work and had no one around, he had to hand them to social services. He put them in foster care because he had no one to look after them. I mean, that's extreme.
Yeah.
And that's where Anne McFall came back, as she followed him down and to look after the kids initially, but became pregnant within months. And Fred later was just that she was the love of his life. There was something about her, she looked after him. She wasn't a hardened sex worker that was just out to use him for convenience. She was the first woman in his life that would make him a cup of tea, would lovingly look after the children, was affectionate to him, and... She was just everything to him.
Although I did hear that Rena was quite a good mother and quite a loving mother. I know that she was quite a hardcore badass bitch, but I don't think she was a terrible mother to Charmaine. Although she did just leave her daughter with him, knowing that he was pretty violent.
Mm. Well, then things take a really twisted turn. A lot of this comes from Fred's retelling of the stories. It's difficult to know from this early life exactly what happened. And as they found from Fred in his later interviews, his stories would change to protect people, to get back at people, to try and plead insanity, to try and make himself sane. He would change. But his story says that he went to Anne McFall's caravan and found Rena and her new pimp there, dragging a heavy suitcase. He was told by the pimp that Rena, his wife, had stabbed Anne in a fit of rage induced by drugs, but he'd said that, of course, she couldn't have done that. He didn't know how it had happened. I don't know why he's dismissing this jealousy kill, but for some reason he felt Rena couldn't have done it. And his quote was, by this time, I was literally brain dead. No, Fred, that was the bike.
Yeah.
Quite a few that years ago that
years
happened.
Do it in the accent.
Boy, this time I was literally brain dead.
Brilliant.
No, Fred, no. I mean, a realisation might have taken 10 years. And they buried... So together, I mean, Fred's way of speaking was so deadpan. Every time you listen to his interviews and him retelling the story, it's so matter-of-fact, it's almost funny. Like, I laughed out loud watching it, because the way he tells it, you just think, no, this can't... He was like, well, I was brain dead, and then we dragged a suitcase and thought, what are we going to do with it now? And I was like, as if it's totally matter-of-fact. And he insisted that he buried her in his favourite place, a field under a tree, and off they went. And Rena was back in his life. Do you know much about how Rena came to her end?
Well, I know that Rena stayed with Fred for another year.
Yes.
And then it was like...
Quite the fickle character.
Meh.
I mean, maybe that's why he convinced himself that Rena couldn't have killed Anne, because how else could he have then just taken up with her again?
Yeah, but then she...
I mean, that's forgiving. Like, I felt... Like, I don't know why I would forgive. Like, if you're a bit late to meet up with me, you're not gonna
that's
have a
too much.
You're not gonna have a fun time. Let's just say that. Like, if you've pissed me off, I'll still see you. But I'm gonna make it totally horrible for all of us.
I'm not saying anything because I'm not gonna catch up.
Well, I just loved it. I say loved, but I'm interested in reading between the lines. The story goes that they'd been out. Fred and Rena, they'd had a night of dancing. They'd gone to his special field.
God, dude, that man loves a field.
He loves a field. They'd had sex in the field. And afterwards, had a massive argument that got to the point where he'd smashed her head against a gate until she was dead.
Because that's a reasonable response. I mean, so this was in the moment of him telling the truth.
Apparently. Again, this is all Fred's retelling of the story. But
so was he planning to have sex with her then? To take to the field?
I mean, did
have
they were together at that point. They'd been out, night out, dancing, drunk, sex in a field on the way home. How bad? Like, what event occurred during that sexual interaction that led to an argument straight after? I mean, I'm looking to you two now to give me insight into this. What post-sex arguments... What does Lucy do that if you had a gate nearby, would
you smack my head against it?
Well, perhaps if it's like in the really annoying
you
habit.
Neglected the balls!
I mean, it's just mad to think about, isn't it? I mean, unless it's like something that's just gradually sort of grinded on him and then suddenly he just lost it. But I don't know, why would you go to the field, oh, let's have sex, and suddenly it turns out it's just...
I don't know, outdoor sex is a bit hit and miss though, isn't it?
Outdoor sex is hit and miss. You think it's going to be exciting, and then you get really het up because you're like, somebody's coming, stop! And it's not what you wanted it to be.
You should avoid the beach. Sorry.
What? We're all learning a lot. We're learning a lot about Fred. We're learning a lot about Luke.
That no, outdoor sex is always much better in theory than in practice, I find.
I think Rena would agree with you on that one.
She fucking would.
I'm not too sure. But...
I mean, she's going to struggle to speak. She's under the tree as well. She got buried in that field.
Yeah. I don't think they didn't find her, did they?
They didn't find the body, did they, for that Rena?
They did. They dug the field. And I think they said it took them 55 days in total.
Wow.
Like, it was the last day of the digging before they found one. I mean, that happened a lot with the investigation where they would keep going. It took them longer than they expected to find the bodies. And he had resilience. Like, the graves he was digging were deep. Like, because these people really struggled. Like, it took when they first... heard about his daughter, as we'll find later, the famous patio one. Yeah. Again, they were ready to let him go at first because nothing was being found in the field. 55 days, that's nearly 2 months of digging with nothing.
He did this all
before
by hand,
they found remains.
Obviously,
yeah, I mean, literally, the policemen were out there digging.
He was like, built like a pack horse, though.
Yeah,
he was. I mean, I don't. I need to stop making out like I fancy Fred West, but he was hench. I have done.
You
worse.
Have done worse. So, I mean, I get a bit confused at this bit because I've got written down that Rena left Fred, but was that just a tale all along and she never left? Because I know that they told Charmaine, oh, your mum's gone off.
Well,
she wanted to go live with her mum.
I'm not sure. From what I gathered, this occasion of them having sex wasn't typical. They weren't together in the traditional sense of being like together all the time. Like it was always very much convenience. Like the girls were with him and with her. They weren't living together like as a married couple. It was sort of they'd gone out to a club and then it had sort of developed into this having sex and the argument. They weren't loved up.
So should we just have a little look at Rose Lett's childhood before
yes.
we move on with the story? So she was born in 1953 and she was born to a depressed mother who had electroconvulsive therapy during the pregnancy.
During pregnancy.
So I mean, there's some stuff online suggesting that might have affected the pregnancy, but I can't really see how. I mean, that's focused on the brain. It's not really... stick it up the vag or anything. Like, it's a very much...
I don't
much
know,
a...
you're being shocked. I can't think it helps.
No, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Although, I mean, that was the year, wasn't it, when they used to just, you know, if you had the slightest issue, they would just shock you or drug you up.
She's being a woman! Give her a pill!
Well,
she's hysterical!
It was a chemical straitjacket, wasn't
Chip
it?
Chip her off!
The amount of drugs they used to pump into you. You know, they do not get me on to the mental health service. Ridiculous.
Good one. But her father was a paranoid schizophrenic. And so when she was young, Rose's mother left him, taking Rose with her. She did really badly at school. She was not bright either. She was not known for being academic.
No.
But she wasn't a genius. But she did carry on seeing her dad. Seeing is the operative word because... there was a sexual relationship going on between them.
For her entire life, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, they were full on at it into her 20s.
After her marriage to Fred, which I think shocked me the most. I mean, as a child, it was definitely abuse. And I just think the hold that he had on her, that he would still visit her in her married home and abuse her.
Yeah,
I can't even comprehend it.
Shocking, really.
Not funny,
shocking.
But almost sort of set it. This is the whole sort of blown of boundaries. I mean,
yeah,
just really mad.
Well, I mean, it was said that Fred was kind of okay with it. He felt like families should have sex, like incest is totally fine, and obviously didn't stop it. Wasn't protecting his wife. Her mother definitely encouraged her to get with an older man. The age difference between her and Fred was quite significant.
Well, clearly she didn't mean her older man.
Yes.
Get with the nearest older man you can see.
So I think some of her daddy issues were definitely projected onto Fred. She was 16 when they first met.
Yeah, and he was 28.
Saw her at a bus stop. That doesn't happen anymore.
So he found out where she worked and basically stalked her till she
yes.
dated him.
Yeah.
Well, see, the way you're putting it doesn't sound as nice. I thought that was romantic.
No.
Like, he saw her at her bus stop. He found out where she worked, popped in, was like, oh, hey, your anorak was spiffing the other day. I loved it. I'm considering taking you and the anorak out for a white wine spritzer. I was enamored. I thought that was great.
It shows a level of commitment.
Yeah. It shows commitment. It definitely shows commitment.
Passion.
He wasn't for casual. He was going to marry all of you.
Yeah.
But
I'll marry you.
It wouldn't have worked if he was short, would it?
Well, that's a different kettle of fish.
She thought he's tall, he's older.
And it was a little bit of a stalker, but some people find that quite attractive. Really.
I mean, if it wasn't so sick, it would have been romantic.
Stalking is, I don't know, just...
That's normal when you first get in a relationship. A little
of
bit,
course it is.
What?
Follow, like, just wear them down until they love you back.
It's
that
standard.
Is sort of what you did with me, because I was pretty apathetic at the beginning. And you did stand outside my house.
Did you stand outside her house?
He was bloody late every time for the first 7 days.
For the first date, Lucy was late. I mean, I was later. I was later than her, but she was late. That wasn't very nice. But then, and I mean, Emma, she wouldn't send kisses at the end of text messages or anything. It was.
Did you stand outside her house?
No, he didn't. No. But he did. He sent every other sentence was a smiley face on his text, and there's nothing creepier than that.
Just letting you know he's happy.
Yeah, and I did put the LOL with lots of love.
I put that, you know, the L-O, what is it L. again?
The L-O-R-L, that's the one.
Lots of liking.
I thought he was about 15 because he just said, "Holly, how are you doing today? Smiley face." And his photo was about 10 years out of date. I literally was of a 15-year-old.
It was about 6 years out of date.
It was about six stone out of date.
Anyway.
Let's save this for therapy.
Yeah, let's just focus on the
podcast. Rose and Fred fell in love.
Fell in love.
You're like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Star-crossed lovers. And she had seven of his, well, not necessarily his children, but she had seven children.
Yeah, three of them were children of her clients. Because guess what? Rose West, that sweatshirt wearing, Deirdre Rashid glasses.
They were cool then.
She was a fucking prostitute. Now, if I'd have known it was that fucking easy to be a prostitute, I would not be teaching. I could have an investment in fishnet tights by now. I could be living the high life. Granted, I would want to get my stairs painted first before I invited men over. Don't want to look like I'm on the down and down. But if she can do it, anyone can. And that's the message I want to give you today. If you can dream it, you can be a prostitute.
All you've got to do is find a man who's going to build you a sex dungeon, which Fred did. So he...
Well, why did she have three children? I mean, surely, did she wear condoms or birth control? I mean, it's ridiculous.
The bareback league.
Just the bareback way. Well, I suppose you pay more for that, don't you?
I mean, I don't know quite how they quantified that three were clients and the rest were friends.
Didn't look like him.
But, I mean, they were just hitting on anyone. Hitting on clients, hitting on their own kids. It was the family... They called themselves the family of love.
Oh.
And, like... Rose was quite violent. The abuse was constant. Yeah. Her son mentioned how she would tie him to the toilet to beat him, but then also sexually abuse him.
But they all knew what was going on all the time because she had a bedroom that she used for prostitution and it was fitted with recording devices and peepholes for Fred to watch.
Oh, yes. Have you seen any of her videos?
No.
I watched... I didn't watch a whole one. I saw an extract from it. Yes.
Wow.
With Rose, and it was. I mean, I didn't see any of the actual sex. I just saw the afterwards. She was like, "Oh, that's got me fucked for the night." And then she said, "Her date." She's like, "It's massive, man. Is it classified as a dangerous weapon?" Best response ever. I wouldn't have thought so. She's trying to give you a prostitute compliment. Obviously, you tell them they've got a massive dick. And he was like, "Look, love, let's just keep it realistic here. Bring it down a notch."
And all the while, Fred's at the door looking through the peephole.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Bashing one out. Oh. And she had a red light that would be on the door that if it was on, the kids knew not to bother her.
That's a professional outfit.
Yeah. I mean, Fred had hooked her up.
Yeah, he'd learnt the sex industry from his first wife. He'd hung around in brothels, he'd hung around with pimps, he knew how it operated.
Good at the DIY.
I mean, that's what you've got to find.
He was a builder, so he did work as a builder. Well, like, he wasn't trained.
That's why he's so really good at digging.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he mentioned about... that he would even solicit people from his work. He mentioned that he would go to work and know that half the men there had fucked his wife.
Like, well, he said that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a profession, like, something to come out with, isn't it?
Well, did people not, like, find this strange, like, random men coming in and out of the house all the time? I mean, this red light glowing at the door.
I think they sort of had their house, they had the upper floors, which they rented out to lodgers regularly, and their house was sort of like the local party house. Like again, a lot of serial killer bingo. Like Dean Corll had, his house was well known in the area. Like the local kids, they knew that was the place to go where they could do drugs, they could have sex, like everything was fine. Like other people, like you attract, you have that house, that sort of DOS house.
Yeah.
And I think theirs was the local place where,
so people in,
particularly
and out.
Vulnerable young people, vulnerable young adults knew that if you wanted to get fucked up and escape, like, well, that was the door that was open.
They invited a shitload of people to move in with them as babysitters.
Hundreds.
All the time.
Hundreds.
Want to come be a babysitter? Don't.
Sure. So, I mean, it's said that Fred got interested in carrying out these attacks with Rose because of the abuse to the children. That he'd seen that she'd been tying up and beating the kids and was like, oh, interesting. I could get in on that.
So, I don't know at which point this was, but I know that Heather, one of the children, had a nanny, Caroline Roberts. Have you heard of her? Have you looked at her?
No, I haven't heard of her.
Well, she was quite integral in the court case later on. But she was... she'd run away from home and she was picked up hitchhiking by
again
Fred
with the
and
hitchhiking.
Rose. Yeah, people must have been hitchhiking left, right and centre.
Why was it not called rape hiking?
The streets must have been lined with random women getting into cars because they took advantage of this.
And the thing with hitchhiking is, if I see someone, by the time I've got close enough to read their sign and look if they're hot enough to get in my car, I'm already past them. Like, it's not actually an effective method. You have to be really committed and turn around and come back. I'm not living that life.
No. I mean, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Well, pick up a hitchhiker if you're not a murderer, but don't hitchhike.
But they might be a murderer.
I don't know. All the stories I've heard, it's not the hitchhikers that are the nasties.
Yes, it is.
It's the ones in the cars.
You need to do some more research because they're freaky hitchhikers with guns.
Well, there are a few weeks ago, I picked one up a few weeks ago.
Was that a one-star review you just gave me, Lucy?
Luke's always getting hitchhikers, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones with the special, you know, the professional signs. You know, the one where they drive a car to a showroom and they need to get lift back. Or they're sort of Eastern European and they need to get to a certain work farm or something like that.
I mean, I bet they
actually, that was slightly xenophobic. I am
when
sorry.
When was the last time you picked up a hitchhiker?
About 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. And they wanted to go from Cambridge to Leicester.
And Luke's the kind of person who'd be like, it's all right, I'll go out of my way to take you somewhere.
What was their reason that they were hitchhiking?
I think he was from Romania and he was working... He wanted to meet a friend and he was working in the in Leicester area.
To be fair, Luke will see someone walking up a hill who's not hitchhiking.
I mean,
I don't have a doll, but can you show me on this wine bottle where they touched you?
No, I swear though, I've been with Luke in the car and there'll be someone walking up a hill and it's slightly raining and Luke will stop and be like, do you want a lift? Like, they don't even to be hitchhiking. We're definitely going to get murdered at some point. We're just inviting these randoms.
I think we have this myth, isn't it, that everything's worse than it is and everything. I think we should be more trusting. I mean, he was, you know, yes, there's a slight risk that you could get murdered.
Did he ask you to drop him off halfway back?
Well, no, he said, would you drop me off there? I said, well, where do you want me to drop you off? And I went a bit out of my way and dropped him off. But he seemed pleasant, you know.
What did you talk about? Did you do most of the talking?
About family.
Knife sharpening.
About knife
sharpening. Oh, I bet you asked him loads of questions.
I did, actually. It's quite good. I mean, obviously, I wasn't a Fred West, but, you know, you don't get many young women. Not that I've looked. Many young women wanted to hitchhike.
Unfortunately.
You never get fit young women.
Just don't get the women these days.
Not like in Fred's day.
Not like Fred. He was pulling them left, right and centre, laughing them into
bed. They were driving around looking for them. So they picked up this woman and she she'd basically run away from home. And she said to them in the car, oh, I don't want to go home. My stepdad's there. He's an arsehole. They were like, come be a nanny for us. And she was like, okay, that sounds normal. And she basically went back to their house and stayed with them for a while. And Fred had told her that he'd done abortions, and he said, oh, they're so grateful, all these women that I give abortions to. Straight after, they're offering sex to me. And she was like, this is weird.
No. I mean, nobody has an abortion and feels sexy.
No, never. Never in a million years.
An abortion is the anti-sex. Like, that is no laughing matter. An abortion is never the easy option.
And so she said Rose had a lot of male visitors as well, and it was just kind of accepted in the household. And she said that she left because it was creepy, and she was like, forget it. And then she was hitchhiking again in exactly the same spot that they picked her up originally, and they came along again.
Well, did she not learn from the first time?
Where was she trying to get to? Like, she's obviously not doing hitchhiking right if she's ended up in the same spot. Like, literally, the worst thing you can do in hitchhiking is not move.
So she got...
Or go to a creepy house and end up in the same spot where you started.
As you one said, step forward, two steps back, one abortion later.
So, yeah, I think he basically said to her, if you get pregnant, it's fine, I'll sort it out. But then, so she got in the car with them again because they were so nice. And they were like, oh, just, you know, come hang out with us for a bit. That she just got in again.
Well, I actually want Fred to kill her at this point. Oh, I think it's ridiculous. She made two mistakes. She made the same mistake again.
She does not deserve to die, Lee.
I think she does.
You've gone from being very quiet to very terrible.
You've gone from being, I'm such a nice guy, I pick up hitchhikers, to people deserve to die.
Right, if you didn't enjoy Luke's comment then, write a review saying, we love you two, 5 stars, don't invite him on again.
Don't marry him.
Just don't do a 1-star review, because I've had quite a few of them already. So
piss off! Careful. So then they took her back to their house, and they'd never been violent to her before this point, but then they hit her, and they grabbed her genitals, and they tied her up. They then were like, oh no, it's fine.
How did you grab her genitals?
Ask Donald Trump.
Yeah, grabbed her cervix. So then,
grab her by the uterus!
So then they were like, oh, we're only joking, untied her, and gave her a cup of tea. And she was like,
but was it one of Rose's drug cups of tea?
No, it was a genuine cup of tea. Mm. Then, well, I don't know.
I've heard this, that Rose, someone who survived their house. Like,
yeah, this is her.
No, but like just like a one girl that went all to like right. the gangs. Like, she was a gang. Girls in Care went there, and she said that Rose would always give them a cup of tea after they'd done sex acts. And she said they were the nastiest cups of tea ever.
No.
And their theory is that she just literally crushed up paracetamol, like tons and tons of paracetamol, put it in the tea to try and... Because obviously they would be...
But they drank it!
They would be really sadistic in their sex acts. Like, it wasn't just having sex. There was always beating. There was always tying up. And she would give them these drug teas to sort of chill them out.
Oh, that's grim. But yeah, so then... And then Rose tried to kiss her. And she was like, oh, what's this about? Then they both touched her up again. And Fred said her genitals were abnormal, but he would fix them. And so then they stopped again. And untied her again, gave her another cup of tea, and then carried on molesting her. And apparently, because this is what they did with a lot of women, it was just this kind of like sexual build up, and they enjoyed the kind of like the messing with people, and oh no, it's fine, and you're fine, and then going back into it. So she screamed out.
Quite a polite, you know, saying, "Do you want a cup of tea?"
Is this the beauty queen?
No, this is. Just some waif and stray at that time. And so then she screamed. Rose put a pillow over her head and started smothering her. Then Fred pulled the pillow off and threatened to kill her. And then they said they'd keep her in a cellar and they'd bury her when they were done with her. So they basically told her exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Exactly what was going to happen, and this is obviously what they planned. And eventually she sort of pretended to go along with it and say, look, I'm down, we'll do this three-way sex thing, whatever. And then she escaped and went to the police. I mean, basically they gave her just the tiniest bit of leeway and she took it, like she got out of there. They gave Fred and Rose £100 fine, and she didn't want to go through a rape charge, so they got done for indecent assault. And after that, they murdered three women within that year. So if they'd actually taken that seriously, those three women would have probably been saved. But I mean, that's a bit of insight into what actually happened to these women, because she got out, but that must have been exactly what they were doing to other people.
I mean, I was really surprised by that. I mean, I mentioned the beauty queen, I assume it's not the same person then, a similar thing where they kidnapped her and then beat her, and they said they beat her between the legs, and then that again was just a fine. And sometimes I'm quite a little bit proud, like in Britain we don't have the huge long prison sentences, like we give people a chance to rehabilitate, but a fine for a kidnap and a rape, yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, it was the 70s, I'm talking 1973 at this point, when the police would like kick the shit out of you and say, okay, we're good now, equals pequels.
Well, she did get in the car twice, though, didn't she?
This is a different one. This was someone they kidnapped. So, yeah, I just think the fine is just insane.
It's fine to kidnap and rape. That's the message.
Yeah, that is the message. Everything's fine if you didn't kill them.
So, we've already had Anne McFall, West's pregnant wife's friend. She was murdered first. Then we had 1970, so that was 1967. 1970, Rena Costello, West's wife. She was a bus conductress. She had the daughter Charmaine, who we've already mentioned.
Slash stripper. There's a lot of poles on buses. Makes sense.
And then we had 1972.
To be fair, though, she had a strong work ethic. I mean, you know,
she was making shit happen. I love the fact that she was a bus conductress. Yeah. I bet she was hanging off the back of the bus like, I swing round this like a falcon in flight. I should be a stripper.
She can leave a phone number for people who are coming on the bus.
You like what you see here? Come and see it naked.
There's no lazy fuckers in the story. Like,
no, everyone's a grafter.
Everyone's a grafter. I'll give them that. Then 1972, Charmaine West. Now, this was an interesting one. She was eight. It's not interesting because she was eight. But she was the one that was apparently killed by Rose, because Fred was in prison at this time. So she had wanted to live with Rena, and there was a lot of talk on the documentaries that I watched that she never cried when she was beaten. Like, she was badass for a child, for an 8-year-old.
Really defiant.
She could take the beatings. Like, she did not give one shit.
She was really cute.
Adorable.
But I thought it was a bit questionable whether Rose West really did do that. It was really hard with the time frames.
All right, are you a Rose West sympathiser?
I'm not a Rose, but some just debate whether she was really, you know, whether she knew the murderers.
I mean, I've got a whole book saying she's innocent, which is
that because
bullshit.
Fred, at the beginning of his interview, said she didn't do anything and then said she did.
So, Charmaine was killed and buried in Le Garden. She was followed the year after by Linda Goff, who was a seamstress. Apparently had some learning difficulties. She occasionally babysat for the Wests. And she moved in with them and began a sexual relationship with them both.
Yeah, like Rose is like no hardcore bisexual.
I mean, she was slogging women left, night and Sunday.
And it was thought that she was the main one that coerced the women into the sex acts. In the lodges, like, Rose was the one who would get them to come. She was the one that made them feel comfortable. She was the one who'd be like, oh, why don't we just do some drugs? Wait, why don't we just take our clothes off? Why don't we just jip each other off? Like, she was the one that got that going.
It's sexy.
You're so hot. Let me peep at you through this hole.
I mean, you're more likely to get into a car if there is a woman there with
Yeah,
her.
You assume that a couple, man and woman together, you're safe. And that's what it is. She put them at ease.
Yeah, so you think, well, there's a woman with them, and he can't be a psychopath.
It was like the Yorkshire Ripper, wasn't it?
Yeah, and if anything, like, if you see the home videos, like, Fred would just film any crap, like, he would. There's like all these videos of Rose just like getting dressed, but not getting dressed sexy, just like putting her shoes on, putting her earrings on, and I'm pretty sure she had, if she was wearing a bra, it was like a chocolate teapot, because nothing, like, they were to the belly button. If I saw a woman with spaniel's ears like that, I would not assume in any way that she was a sex worker.
That's, well, she wasn't even old then, was she, really?
No, like 30s.
Psychotastic. So with Linda Goff, they tied her up.
I mean, to be fair, it happens to the best of us. If I was going to get comfortable right now, I could probably sweep the floor.
To be fair, she'd had freaking 7 children.
Yeah.
That's 7 hungry mouths to feed.
That's, yeah.
That's going to give you crepe tits, if anything. So she, Linda Goff was, tied up, and they murdered her and dismembered their body, probably for ease of burying her. Charmaine was also buried in the garden. I think I found out on podcasts and stuff and documentaries, I think it was Rose who killed Charmaine from the timings, but Fred that buried her. I think she'd waited for Fred to come home, because that's quite, I mean, she was not a big woman. Digging up the garden, it's not going to be, I mean, I didn't help with that pond, because I can't freaking dig up.
I heard that, and I,
bloody hard work.
It wasn't mentioned, but I feel like that had to have been jealousy driven.
Yeah.
Like, Fred had these previous relationships, and he had, I feel like he cared for Charmaine and Anne-Marie from before, and I definitely think Rose resented that.
And I think it annoyed her that she wouldn't cry, and I think it was like, you're not going to cry now, I'm going to make you cry. And if she never cried, like, the end point is,
you can only up the ante so far.
Right, now you're dead then. So, 1973, the same year as Linda Goff. So, Linda Goff was at random. Lucy Partington, a university student. She was born in St. Albans. She was discovered with woven cord under her jaw and around her head. And this is the beginning of these kind of masks that they put on people to keep them quiet. So, they obviously kept them in the basement. Just some sort of dungeon for a while. And they kept the women alive, which I think is the most horrific part. That they would abuse them over time until they were like, well, we're done, and now you're going to get killed. And you just can't even imagine. It must have been horrific.
On last podcast on the left, I was re-listening to an old episode the other day, and they were asking each other, if you, like, a lot of these people, it's rape and kill. Like, would you rather be raped and then killed, or would you rather be killed and then raped?
And then they said, killed and raped.
Mm.
Yeah, apart from Henry, who said he'd rather be raped and then plead for his life and become a servant. I assume we'd all say killed and then raped.
Oh yeah.
Unless the police are on the way, and then you can buy time.
I also think a raping I'd probably get away.
But how did they meet that other one? Because they went from prostitutes and all that and hitchhikers to a university student. I mean, they're up in the grade tier a bit, aren't they?
It was just hitchhiking. I think they drove around at night. I mean, they caught that girl twice in the same spot. They must have been doing a route.
But even students are vulnerable. Like, you have a lack of money. Mm. You're desperate. And a lot of, like, they would have gangs of girls who were like from foster homes, who were like, you know, it was a lot. They had groups of girls who were just in situations where they didn't have options.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the next girl, 1974 Carol Cooper, 15-year-old schoolgirl, and she had lived in a children's home. So she, there's mixed reviews on this. There was someone said that she was walking home from the cinema, but then another source said that she'd been with a boyfriend.
Irrelevant.
But doesn't matter. She just basically disappeared. She was found with her fingers, her toes, and her kneecaps cut off. She was obviously tortured before being killed, and she'd been sort of a rebellious teenager. But they seemed to target this kind of rebellious type who were like, oh, I'm going to run away from home, and it's somewhere to go.
I remember in the interviews with Fred, they asked him about the missing bones, the fingers and the toes.
Yeah.
Because he was so open in his interviews with just confessing to what he'd done and telling at length. He was definitely a raconteur. Like, he would tell the story. And then when they questioned him about the missing bones, that was one of the things where he was like, no comment, would not say what had happened, didn't know, wouldn't say what had happened to those missing bones.
Oh, he's such a prick tease, isn't he?
Is that teasing your prick?
Wow. I just want to know what happened to the bones. Like, what were they doing with them?
Maybe he's got, like, he was selling necklaces on Etsy.
I mean,
Fred West's Etsy store. He's got Black Friday deals.
It is Black Friday.
It's like the bone collectors.
So, 1975, Juanita Mott, 19-year-old, another rebellious
Juanita
girl. Juanita. Is it Juanita?
Yes, Juanita. Same
Where
as,
is she
same
from?
A, in the same way that Leonard is Leonard. Juanita is Juanita. Do you know anyone called Joaquelin? No, it's Jacqueline.
Yeah, precisely, you just proved my point. Juanita.
No, Juanita.
Juanita. She met a man called Timothy Davis. I don't know why that's important, but it seemed to be important in all the sources that I found. But she disappeared 6 weeks after she met him, so I think he must have been the one who reported her missing. She had a fracture to the skull, she'd been tied up, she'd been kept trapped. And in 1975 again, we had Shirley Hubbard, another schoolgirl. She was taken into care at the age of 2. She was 15 when she went missing, placed with foster parents aged 6. Ran away in 1974, taken back to the foster parents, ran away again. I mean, I don't know what the frickin' foster parents were like, because she kept running away. I don't know if that was just... I don't know what she was thinking.
They're just not your parents.
Possibly, or possibly they were arseholes as well. But she was probably picked up from the streets. She was decapitated after she was killed, and she was found with a plastic tube up her nose. So they'd obviously... had some sort of breathing equipment involved in...
some nasty asphyxiation game.
1977, you've got Therese.
No! Therese!
Therese.
Siegenthaler!
Yeah, that one. She was a 21-year-old Swiss hitchhiker. Studying sociology, planned to go to Ireland. She regularly hitchhiked.
Planned to go to Ireland. Wanted that's to go such low-key dreams.
She would have loved the Dublin bars.
Like, that's what... that I find that so sad. When you have such low-key, like... yes, you could have gone to Ireland. That was totally achievable.
She would have done it. She was hitchhiking all over the place. With no problems. Picking up with people like Luke. Taking them to the destination. Bish, bash, bosh.
Mm.
No murder involved. She goes in with Fred West.
Gets murdered one time. And that's the end.
Found with knotted cloth around her skull. Then
there's more.
Yep, there's three more. 1977, Alison Chambers, age 17. Rebellious, age 15. And taken into care at 15. So she was just a little shit. And her parents went, bye. Like, forget it.
Not her fault.
It's weird that these parents seem to be like, okay, put her in care, it's fine. I mean, you know about care. Was it easier just to be in care for a while and then out of care then?
Well, I mean, it seems like he was making a dent in the local care population, weren't they? Bloody hell. It's like every
second
child.
It's like an extra, like, foster home. Like, if Adele sent them to Fred West.
I mean, the turnover is pretty good, really, isn't it?
But she was seen at Cromwell Street on several occasions. She had bones missing as well. She was tied with a leather belt, and she had a belt around her jaw. 1978, we had Shirley Robinson. She was 18. She'd gone to live with Fred and Rose. She was pregnant with Fred's baby. Baby was believed to be Fred's, and Rose had seemed okay with that, but I think she begun to got very
I
jealous.
I don't think Rose was okay with that.
Clearly not. Like, so she was like, oh, should we just kill her? I mean, we've done a load already. And then 1987, the last
what,
one.
What, there's a gap?
Yeah, I mean, 1978 to 1987. 9 years.
They just
think how many murders you should be doing in 9 years.
I mean, they were really
what
consistent.
Were you playing at?
But every year there was pretty much a murder. I mean, their best year was 1973.
I mean, he had to dig those fucking holes.
Not their best year, but you know what I mean.
The best year for murder.
And then a big gap.
We're looking at the stats, which I do consistently. Then, yeah, I mean, to be fair, 1 a year. It's not like they're murdering all the time. You get some serial killers that are doing it every week.
I wonder why there was a gap, though.
Yeah, it is weird. 9 years. I mean, that's a long time to almost forget about murdering. And then that was a family member. That was Heather West, 16. That was their eldest child. Rose basically told the neighbours, oh, well, she's being a lesbian, so I kicked her out.
Oh.
So that was her. I mean, she's one to talk. And they dismembered and killed her, and they tied her up as well.
So Heather, as a child, has been through all that shit.
She's lost her sister.
Witnessed God knows what. And then just when she's 16,
she's then just... And maybe she was just like, I'm done with this. And they were like, well, we're done with you then.
Do you think she knew too much?
I think so. I think if she was, you know, that done with it, she knew too much. She was a threat at that point.
But 1987, she was killed. The last victim. Fred wasn't arrested till 1994.
No, because he covered it up so well.
With an IQ of 84?
Yeah, because he did the best thing. He did the double bluff. Do you think we killed her? Yeah, I did. Where's Heather, Dad? Oh, we buried her under the patio. Lol, 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 lol. That is literally what he did. It's like, if I just tell everyone I murdered her as a joke, they're going to believe it's a joke. Was what he thought would work. And it fucking did.
Yeah, it clearly did.
Back to, like, Anthony Anderson days of episode 2, where he would just say, I did a murder last week. And he everyone's like, shut up, Anthony. You're such a wind-up. There goes Fred West. To all of his children, your sister is missing. Like, how distressing is that? And he was like, yep, we buried her under the patio. Like, he must be the kind of dad that if their kid says they've got a headache, he's like, don't worry, it's just a brain tumour. We'll just lobotomise you. So basically, it was this family joke that brought the downfall of Fred and Rose. Social services got involved in over concerns with the children and their well-being. And while talking to the children, they mentioned, oh, Dad says Heather's under the patio. So, of course, they had to dig the patio up.
Yeah.
Fred was arrested and...
And they didn't arrest Rose for ages because they're like, a woman can be involved in this kind of crime.
Well, Fred also, he was adamant. And every interview that he was in for a long, long time, he made it very clear. But Rose had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
He would admit to something that happened and then immediately say, but Rose knew nothing about it. I mean,
apart from when he said that she killed Charmaine.
I mean, later, he would then just drop her in it completely. But towards the beginning, he was trying to protect her wholeheartedly. I mean, he dug, at this point, like 9 people's graves within his own back garden, cellar and bathroom. And he was just saying, and they were like, well, obviously Rose would have heard something. And he was like, well, at that point, a noise in the basement meant nothing. I was raking and digging every night. Like, he was trying to make out, like, of course she wouldn't have suspected.
I was underpinning the basement. I just love another floor.
I love to dig.
I wish you'd bloody dig the basement out.
And there was a couple of different theories about...
Should have employed Fred, shouldn't
we? There are a couple of different theories about why Fred started to... incriminate Rose. One is that he would see these visions of his victims, and he would mention, and then when they took him back around the house to try and show where he'd buried people, he would stand in the room and he would wait until the visions of the woman that he'd killed came to him, and where they stood was how he knew where they were buried. And it's one argument is that the vision of when they started talking about Anne McFall back in the field, the girl that he said was his true love, when he started thinking about her and talking about her murder, he realised that she's the one he loved. He didn't love Rose. Yeah. Actually, fuck her.
I watched, we watched a drama, didn't we, about Fred and Rose West. And in that drama, it suggested that he was always adamant that he hadn't killed her and that he'd really loved her. And well, he was very loyal to Anne McFall, of all the women. And he was owning up to all the rest. But it was the one woman that he kind of...
Which allegedly Rena killed.
Yeah.
Another theory is that at one of the court hearings, Rose had ignored him, had not looked at him.
Yeah, she snubbed him.
Which could have been on advice of counsel. Yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily want to blow them a kiss and make it awkward for the jury. You want to stay in control. But apparently, one argument is that she snubbed him in court, and so at that point he was like, right, she's the one, she's done it.
But then he wrote to her following that, saying that he still loved her.
Which you'd hope that he did after what they'd been through.
Yeah.
So the interviews with Fred were just immense. And the archive of interviews is the main source of information on this case. Fred did write a diary, despite his poor writing skills, but he was very free-flowing. He was just talking for England days and days and days of interviews. And it's where we get most of our information. I mean, some of his logic is bizarre. One of the things he mentions about an attack on a woman is that he grabbed her around the neck. And he's like, I wasn't grabbing around the neck to choke her. I was just grabbing around the neck to shake her. And like, that logic doesn't go far.
No, that's
like,
still not okay.
Yeah, I wasn't sticking my dick in her to rape her. I was just doing it to shake her about a bit. Like, shaking people...
It was convenient. It was already hard.
Yeah, shaking people isn't, like, a reason to do things,
no.
Really. So it was long going. And as I said, he changed his stories a lot. He was always talking,
yeah,
but always changing them. I mean, he was a vulnerable adult. He did have learning difficulties. He'd had this head injury. So he did have an appropriate adult present.
You sort of got a bit... like involved with him.
I mean, he said that apparently she looked uncannily, and I have seen photos of them both. She did look uncannily like Anne McFall.
That's weird.
She used to go to the prison, didn't she?
And it's part of the part of the reason he confessed so much is that he felt a connection with her because she looked like his love.
It's quite a good drama called Appropriate Adult that you can watch. That's like sort of her perspective, but she almost is a little bit in love with him, which I find weird because I've worked with people with learning difficulties, and I'd like.
No. It's sort of like a reverse Stockholm syndrome. I mean, like Truman Capote with the In True Blood, he started visiting the murderer and got a bit involved. And when you hear someone's story, as we know, like the love that I have for Marianne Cotton still burns strong. Like when you start getting close to someone's story, you start to sympathise and you see things. But yeah, his stories are mainly what we have to go on. Unfortunately, that is most of what we have because Fred actually committed suicide before he was able to go to trial fully.
Which I think he sort of did as a gift to Rose a little bit. I think he thought, well, if I die, then the story dies with me and they'll have to let her off the hook.
And there was a rumour as well, wasn't there, that Rose sent a letter to Fred as well. And there was a code in it to say you can just... Oh, this agreement they had, before you go to trial, you take your life.
Yeah.
I mean, while this was going on, before Rose was incriminated, they put Rose and they put the children in a safe house, and they bugged the safe house. And a lot of the private conversations that she was having with her daughter, she was furious with Fred. She kept up this story that she had nothing to do with it.
And that it was all Fred.
She was just adamant. She was like, if I saw him now, I'd strangle it. She never once broke and confessed during those book tapes when she was alone and really? Didn't know she was spoken to.
But there's a lot of people who still championed her and believed that she was innocent, despite the glasses. So...
I mean, one of the other rooks. Things, as well as Fred having an appropriate adult, because he would talk so freely about having visions and would get upset, they did give him an adult to make sure that he wasn't being manipulated, but yet they also gave him Valium and diazepam to calm him down. So I'm not quite sure that all the guidelines were being followed, because... he was on prescription drugs and still continued to be interviewed. I also read Charles Bronson is quite a famous sort of gangster, violent criminal here in the UK, in and out of prison, prison for life now. He claims in his book that he was the one that drove Fred to suicide. They were in the same prison while he was awaiting trial, and he said that he would shout himself hoarse through the bars at Fred, crying constantly, Fred was, until eventually he hanged himself. And he claims that victory. He just goes on and on. I mean, child molesters are still viewed in prison with particular disgust.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any place there. And I think he sees it as vindication for him that that was one of the things he was able to do.
So then Rose was arrested in the same year, about a month later. And they decided that she was involved, and her trial sort of hinged on this idea that Fred was in prison when Charmaine died, and they were trying to narrow that down. And one of the ways they tried to narrow that down is that they had Charmaine's teeth from the garden where they dug up, and they were trying to find a photo of her smiling to see if they could date the teeth to say exactly when she died, and then they could say whether Fred was in jail.
Can I please play the clip of the guy that looked at their teeth? Okay, so Dr. Whittaker is the guy that was in charge of looking at the photographs, looking at the teeth, and trying to match them up. I love Dr. Whittaker! Dr. Whittaker is the cutest pathologist that I've heard in a long time. I love his honesty. It's almost like he just fell into this job. He doesn't know how he got here, but he's doing his best, and this is what he had to say about this process.
What I'm doing is kind of collecting information, you know, taking x-rays, doing my best. And then I'm ringing up the police in Gloucester, you know, every night or every week, and saying, you know, I've got as far as this, I can't go any further, don't know who she is, but if we could get some photographs... then I might be able to do something. And the police then, their teams start collecting photographs from family, you know, anywhere they can get them. So they started flooding in. And the trouble was that I was getting sort of a bit more depressed with each one, because there's one here, for instance, with two little children in a pushchair, and there's Fred at the back.
He's getting depressed. Do you want Dr. Whittaker to be depressed? No! He's doing his best. Give him some photos and he'll try his damnedest to sort this out. Do not put pressure on Dr. Whittaker.
He gives a shit.
He cares.
He gives all the shit.
He'll ring you up maybe once a day, maybe once a week, when he can. If he's not ringing you, he can't. He's got nothing to say. He will ring you when he can.
I love Dr. Whittaker.
He's adorable.
I want him to be in my classroom with me every time I teach.
I want him to be my granddad.
I do. So Dr. Whittaker was actually quite integral, because he was looking for a photo with Charmaine smiling so he could link the teeth with her age. So eventually a fax was accidentally sent to him that was intended for the defence.
No way.
Yeah, they accidentally sent it to him.
Fax machines are so tricky as well. Like, to send a fax to the wrong person, you have to press a lot of wrong numbers.
I mean, that's got to be accidentally on purpose, surely. Yeah. Like, oh, I should probably send this to the defence, but they're not going to use it.
Sabotage. Oh,
this guy's definitely looking for this exact thing.
Dr. Whittaker's sly.
Well, he was like, jackpot, because exactly the photo that he needed was sent to him. with her smiling. And then he contacted the photographer who'd written down the date that he'd photographed her. So he remembered the photo shoot and written down the photo that he'd had. And that meant that it was proved that Fred was definitely in prison when Charmaine died. And it was such, like, jammy circumstances.
I mean, there was breakthrough stuff all the way through this case.
But imagine the bottle of wine he opened that night. Like, he was really, like, brilliant.
Done it. Nailed it.
Done. I mean, bingo.
The investigation is almost as interesting as the case. Because Fred was so roundabout. I mean, he would lose count of the women. He would say he didn't know their names, say he did. So the identification process was just immense. I mean, one of the things that they did was they would superimpose photographs of victims they suspected onto the skulls that they'd found to see if it would match. I'm like, that is the origin of the Snapchat filter. Without superimposing those faces on those skulls, could I look like a dog today? Probably not.
But there was one woman who, her sister had gone missing years and years before, and eventually they worked out who she was, and they dug up her body, and she was able to bury her. And she said that she, when she saw the skull, she was like, I know that's her. I mean, that's fucked up, but also sort of beautiful in some way. And they were able to give her a proper funeral, and they could bury her properly, and they had meaning to it. So it meant a lot to them.
I mean, also at the time, it was such a big scandal. I mean, every day they were finding a new body, and then they looked at the previous address, and there was suspicion there were bodies there. I mean, it was such a national scandal.
But the public were loving it. They were, like, turning up at the house, being like, oh, let us have a look.
And I believe now the house, they've knocked the house down or something, haven't they?
I mean, how disgusting that they made profit out of murder.
So, one of the things that I found quite interesting to research is what Rose is up to now. She is quite the kingpin on her wing. She's at a prison up in Durham. We totally missed a trick when we were there a couple of weeks ago. She's there, and she is one of the, like, she's, like, got all the perks. I mean, she's never getting out, so she might, this is her life now.
She's like Queen Bee there, basically.
She's 62 now.
Yeah, this is her life, so she's making the best of it, and she has all the perks. So, perks in prison. She can get furniture from Argos. Any furniture you want from Argos.
I've got down, she loves a bit of catalogue shopping.
Yeah, she can also, because she's allowed Argos, she's also allowed makeup from Avon.
What?
Exclusively big from Avon. No, Avon's a ripoff. And the best of all, my favourite thing that is her perk, she's allowed a PlayStation on which she can watch up to 8 DVDs.
Fuck off, I haven't even got 8 DVDs.
I'm sure you do. But I feel like the punishment should be that the 8 DVDs are chosen for you.
Yes.
Do you remember that old Addams Family film? I think it's the summer camp one.
Yeah.
Where they go in that room and they're forced to watch Disney films. I think something like that. Like, I'm going to choose the 8 DVDs for you and you have to watch them on a loop. Because you can watch them all in one day.
What would you choose?
That could be every day repeated. To punish or to enjoy?
To punish.
Oh shit, to punish the internship. That was the biggest bag of shit I've ever seen.
Mm. I heart Huckabee.
I don't know, I only watch good films.
I know.
My taste is too high.
Probably some shit that would really grow old pretty
What
film
do you think she's
13
watching?
Going on 30. That
I love 13 going on 30!
I know, but how many times could you watch it?
I'm 30, flirty and thriving. I'm not. I've got years, don't worry. But so she's known around the prison as the Black Widow because it's
because she eats spiders.
You Strange. Think you know the reason someone's called a Black Widow. It's said because obviously she's got to be into the ladies now. She's very highly sexed. This we know from her life. It's known that she's the Black Widow because she's like a spider crawling over your flesh.
What?
No, girls, that is not what Black Widow means. Like, they're just rumours flying around this prison. If you call someone a black sheep, they're like, she must be eating grass.
Also,
no! Is she a dark horse? She can run bloody fast, that woman. This is not what Black Widow means. I mean, she is known to have a lot of girlfriends and move them on, but she's not killing them. She's not widowing herself.
It's a bit poetic for a prison nickname. I mean, come on.
I also saw an article about the fact that Rose West, she's always had pretty much the same look. At one point it said she ballooned to 15 stone. She's not so huge that you'd be impressed by it. I was disappointed. Like, she couldn't flatten somebody. But it was said that she cuts her own hair. Like, she started having, like, a short back and sides now compared to her iconic little bob. And she cuts her own hair because she's so scared to let anyone near her with scissors, is what one article said. When I delved into this further, there's actually another notorious criminal on her wing, the mother of baby P.
Yeah, I've got stuff about this as well. Apparently she gave her tips.
What I've heard from most sources is that this... I forget her name. But the mother of baby P, quite a famous case in the UK, like, yeah, caused a lot of new legislation around safeguarding for children.
Really horrific child abuse.
But this woman is now the hairdresser in this prison. And because her crime is such a horrendous case of child abuse to a very young baby, the women in the prison across the board are boycotting the hairdressers and hence cutting their own hair.
Yeah.
Which I prefer that story. I like that idea. Day.
Do it.
I've
got that she, it costs £50,000 a year to keep her in prison, and she's actually friends with child rapist Carol Fishburne as well, and they've been hanging out in her cell. So she's still making a name for herself.
Got a lot in common. They clicked.
And she also said that she wants to die in prison because she's loving it.
Well, she's not really got much choice. You've got to make the best of that. Yeah. You've not got much choice. I think the thing that I found slightly depressing is that the cycle continues. Obviously, they had a lot of children, 3 with clients, 4 with Fred, and a lot of them alive now, still only our age. And very recently, one of their sons, Stephen West, at age of 31, was convicted of sex with a 14-year-old. 7 convictions of sex with a 14-year-old.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I mean, the judge was quite sympathetic. Obviously, he understood that his childhood had been horrific.
Yeah.
He had been abused sexually, physically, for the whole of his childhood, and that emotionally he was still an adolescent. So he was drawn to teenagers because he just couldn't connect with adults. He didn't have that capacity. But he was only given 9 months. But he fucking wrote about it. The reason he was able to be convicted, he wrote about it in his diary. Didn't learn from his dad. That's a family trait. If you do bad things, don't write it down. No. Lesson 1. I learned that from my live journal.
Don't keep a diary about all the murders that you've done.
Your mum will find it. She'll know you called her a bitch.
People read diaries. There's even those shitty little locks on them. People don't respect that.
But if you do love, like, diaries that you had as your kid, definitely listen to the Mortified podcast. It's just people reading their diaries, reading things they've written when they were teenagers, when they were children, and it's hilarious. Check it out.
Brilliant. Thank you for listening. Please write us some nice reviews if you enjoyed this, and follow us on Facebook. If you type in S'Laughter, you can find us, you can join the group. There's some interesting discussions going on there. We're on Twitter at SlaughterThePod. We're on Gmail at SlaughterThePodcast@gmail.com. So find us, follow us, review us, all of the things that I said before.
And remember, listening to Slaughter doesn't make you a psycho.
Murdering people does!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.